Take your Bible tonight. Turn to page. Turn to Matthew chapter. To page. All right, page 1032 in the Rice Reference Bible. Matthew chapter 10. So excited about preaching to you. Can't wait to preach to you and hope that I can put this to you, to the fact that you will. It'll help you. I don't preach to help myself. I preach to help you. Scripture says we are to help the brethren, to teach them, to get you to serve the Lord and to walk closely and to remember what you're doing and to think about things before you do them, amen. And realizing that everything you do, people are watching you. And there are some times that people won't watch you, but God does. And we want to be very careful that we wouldn't want to hinder someone's walk. I was in an incident last week that a child got in some trouble. And I noted that the mother had went into a certain area of life. And someone said, well, it really doesn't make any difference. I said, yes, it does. A child watching it, and he sees that it's okay for mama, so I guess it must be okay for him, amen? What my mama do is okay for me. And you're watched, and people watching you, be very careful what you say, what you do. There's only a few people that will have mercy on you. The rest of you are rest of the people are very judgmental and want to take you down and want to it's a way they can blackmail you. You see it at work. Some guy does something at work and guys don't say anything about it, but boy, next time the guy goes and gets after you, you say, wait a minute, I remember what you did 500 years ago, you know. All right, let's stand and read Matthew chapter 18. Very interesting portion of Scripture. I don't know what happened. I don't understand. But Peter comes to the Lord and asks this question. It seems like it just out of, where did that come from? You're your own people and they start asking you a question and you're going like, okay, where are they going with this on this thing? How many ever had that go on? Okay. That has nothing to do with the content we're taught, and he's been standing there for 5 or 6 minutes ready to jump in and ask you this off-the-wall question. That's what it seems like when Peter asks the question here in Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him till 7 times. And Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until 7 times, but until 70 times 7. And it's very interesting how the Lord takes it. God knows, God knew what Peter was thinking about. God knows what people are thinking about when they come and jump you with something off the wall and you're not even prepared to answer. And Jesus says, okay, I'm going to give you a little lesson. I'm going to teach you something here. Aren't you glad people will teach you? Aren't you glad people teach you things? Aren't you glad about that? I was pastoring the Delavan Baptist Church. I had just resigned. That was my last Sunday I was going to preach there. And all of a sudden, the lights went out. It was a cold, cold day. Lights went out. Everything in town is shut down. And so I called the power company, and I knew the guy because it was a small town. And I said, hey, it's my last Sunday. I'd sure like to preach to my people. And right next to him was standing a potato farmer. And, of course, this is in Blue Earth, Minnesota, where all the Stokely Van Camps and all the, you know, all these Del Monte, all these huge companies that they. And this guy said to me, preacher, if I don't get electricity out of my, I'll lose my whole potato crop. And you want to have electricity in your church so you can preach? God was just teaching me a few things, amen. There's certain things that are important, amen. And my thing should have been, hey, can I help you get your potatoes warmed up, amen? Can I go roll in them or something? I don't know. All right, listen to what Jesus said. I say not unto these until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore, is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. In today's money, that would be $300 million. That's a gob of money. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him that owed him 10,000 talents, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Let me think of this. There ain't a kid in this world worth $300 million. But anyway, no, sorry. The servant therefore, now if there are grandkids, amen? Amen, grandma, amen, all right. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all, big liar. I was reading a commentary about this, and it says, the Lord Jesus Christ took such a high amount of money that they couldn't even count that much money back in those days. It was impossible. And he just wanted to let us know how big this was. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. Boy, you talk about mercy, amen. How would you like to be given forgiven $300 million? But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence. Pence are denaros, 17 cents a pence, so that's $17. Now, how much did the guy owe the Lord? $300 million. Now he goes, now the same guy that was forgiven goes to his fellow servant and says, hey, you owe me $17. Listen to what he did to him. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. That's not good. I can see that this is escalating. Escalating. Not excavating. Escalating. Took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he would pay the debt. Now, how many of you tonight would vote for the guy that they got forgiven $300 million? You say, hey, he should do that. How many say yes on that? How many say no on that? How many say no? Come on, you're voting. Tuesday you're supposed to vote. Let's get in practice right now. Don't forget to vote Tuesday. And when his fellow servant saw, his fellow servants, the other guys, saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay it all, was due unto him. You ever think he got out of jail? I don't think so. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, now this is to you, and this is to Peter. Peter, likewise your Father, your heavenly Father, do also unto you if ye from your... I heard somebody the other day say, you know, I forgive him, but boy, in my heart, I still have a little problem with that. Careful. Forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. Here, you got it. Hey, Lord. I can see Peter right now. Hey, how many times am I supposed to forgive my... this guy over here sinned against me. 7 times? That's a lot of times. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, that's 490 times. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on what side you're on, it is imperative that you got to start all over again once you got the 490 done in one day. How many have ever had anybody do that to you? Jesus turns and said, hey, Peter, let me tell you a story. There's a man, a lord, that had a man that owed him $300 million. You got that, Peter? $300 million. You can't even count it, dude. That's in a Greek, of course. And the Lord said, I want that money now. And the borrower says to the lender, I can't do it. Have mercy on me. And he literally falls on his feet. He falls to the feet of the Lord and says, please have mercy on me. And the guy says, no problem. Okay. Done. Let's forget it. Let's get on with life. That same guy, without almost seeming like took a breath, he went to one of the fellow servants that he worked with that owed him $17 and says, pay it back. Said, I can't. So what did he do? And what did God say? Wicked, you wicked servant. Let me tell you this right now. Listen to me. Are you all listening to me? If you're unwilling to forgive anybody, you're wicked. And God said, if you won't forgive somebody else, I'm not going to forgive you. I can't live like that. I can't live like that. Let this be a warning to Heritage Baptist Church members. Get over it. Leave it alone. Got a problem with somebody? Just leave it alone. Why? Let God be judge. My Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. Once you step into the area... how many are getting tired of standing? What? Too bad. I have to stand all the time. You can sit down anytime you want. Once you step into the realm, you may be seated. Once you step into the realm of being the judge, God says, well, okay, you just take care of it yourself. Doesn't he? How many agree with that? Once you say, why you dirty rat, you? Once you take out the ball bat and start beating this guy up, God says, hey, you're the judge now. You take care of it. Who would you rather judge? You. God or man? A million times God. A million times. I'm waiting for some of you out there to call my phone because I didn't turn it off. Amen. Let me illustrate this, okay? It's kind of crazy, but it's a great illustration. God gave it to me a couple of weeks ago down in Pickens, South Carolina, when I was preaching. I was begging God for some information so that I could just give people something to remember. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, illustrations are the windows to the sermon. Dr. Joe Marks says, I have a lot of books, and a lot of books thought it'd be a great idea to take the illustrations out and just write the words of what the man was talking about. He said, I won't give you 2 cents for a book like that. I want an illustration. I want something to remember. I think you remember this. This is called Leave It Alone, DeWine. I grew up on a farm in Michigan, central Michigan. We raised pigs and sheep and hogs and cattle and chickens. And I drove tractor as soon as I was able to push that clutch in and pull that clutch out on that old John Deere. I was as country as country could get. I fell off that pumpkin wagon, amen, without question. Hayseed, it was in my hair. This is the way my hair was when I was growing up, amen. Didn't have much, just a buzz, amen. But I was country as they come. Country bumpkin, you got them. You're looking at them right here, amen. I didn't want to go to school. I wanted to stay home and help my dad on the farm. I just didn't want to go to school. I didn't. Man, I was driving a tractor. I was having a lifetime, life of riding. I was just having a great time. And but they told me I had to go to school. I wasn't too impressed with that. I also had a cousin named Dwayne Mason. You heard me talk about it. He passed away last year. I had his funeral for him in Michigan. And Dwayne was 6 months older than I was. And we were bestest of friends. Bestest of friends. And he grew up in Midland. He was a big city slicker. And as city slicker as you could get, man, he was it. Practically every Sunday, though, we got together. Either he came to our farm or we went down to his house in Midland. And I will tell you something. There is plenty of time to get in trouble between Sunday morning church and Sunday evening church. I know that for a fact. My mama said, after I got in the ministry, she said, "You sure got a lot of illustration for sermon growing up with Dwayne." Well, one Sunday, Dwayne came to our farm for dinner, and after dinner, we headed back to the woods. And as we headed back to the woods, at the edge of the woods, a great big shiny balloon, he said, "Hey," shouted, "look at that weather balloon." I said, "Dwayne, that ain't no weather balloon." "Yes, it is." Now, you got to understand Dwayne. Dwayne knows everything. Dwayne is the Wikipedia. Dwayne is the Webster Dictionary. Dwayne is the encyclopedia. He knew everything. Everything. He said, "That is a weather balloon." I said, "Dwayne, that's not a weather balloon." I said, "We just butchered a cow, and that is its guts. That is not a balloon." "Yes, it is." I said, "Dwayne, it is not." And we kept walking back there. Finally, he starts running towards us. I said, "Dwayne, leave it alone." He kept running, so I caught up to him. And all of a sudden, you got to remember, we had the first frost. My dad always butchered his steer with the first frost. But after the first frost in October, it got really hot. I mean, we're talking 90 days. I mean, it was hot. And the closer you got to that weather balloon, the stinkier it got. And I kept hollering at him, "Dwayne, leave alone." He said, "I'm going to check out this weather balloon." I said, "Dwayne, leave that thing alone. That's a gut pile." "No, it's not. It's a weather balloon." And the thing was swelled up. It was shiny white. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. And of course, the guy said, "Man, what's that smell?" I said, "Dwayne, I told you." "No, it's not." Finally, he said, "Shut up." I was okay. He got up there, and guess what he did? He picked up a stick. This thing was ready to explode. It was dead. Shiny. And he started poking at me. Finally, I said, "Dwayne, leave it alone." And Dwayne said, "I told you, shut up, man. This is a weather balloon. I'm going to pop it." I said, "Don't pop it." And when I said that stick happened to pop the guts. And it went. He was covered with green stuff. It looked like the plague had hit him, amen. He said, "Well, I guess it wasn't a weather balloon." I said, "Hey, I told you to leave alone, idiot. Don't call me idiot." I said, "Don't get close to me, man." You know, do you know that's what the Bible says about sin and forgiveness? You know what the word forgiveness in the Greek is, epimeia. It is spelled A-F-I-H-M-I, epimeia. And it starts from F, which means from, E-M-A, which means to send or to send away. Forgiveness implies or has this idea to send away. Authorized version, back in the 1600s, translators translated Ephemeia 52 times. They translated it as to leave. 47 times they translated to forgive. 14 times they translated to suffer. 8 times to let. 6 times to forsake. And 6 times to let alone. FMA carries with that idea to send away, as a husband unfortunately would divorce his wife and send her away. Just, I don't want nothing to do with you. To send forth, to expire, to let go, to let alone, to let, to disregard, to discuss, not to discuss now. You ever heard tell that? Hey, just leave me alone. Tell your kids that. To admit, to let go, to give up a debt, to forgive or to remit, to give up, to keep no longer, to leave, in order to go to another place, to depart from one, to leave him to himself, so that all mutual claims would be abandoned, to desert, leaving something behind, to leave one dying, to leave behind. Because of religious persecutions, back in the early 1800s, my great-great-grandfather and his family came from Switzerland, came to America. They boarded that boat, and they were so excited about getting out there, coming to America for freedom of religion. It wasn't long that my great-great-grandfather died on board. And they had to bury him at high sea. They left him. They left him. That is what God does with our confessed sin. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? He says, I take it as far as the east of the west, never to remember it again. I cast it in the deepest sea. That's forgiveness. That's what God does for us. This FMA means I am literally leaving it alone. Aren't you glad God leaves your sins alone? Man, old Dwayne, he wouldn't leave that thing alone. I said, Dwayne, leave it alone. He's over there pulling on it, idiot. Sometimes you can't tell a city slick or nothing. He not only is going to forgive us of our sins, but he is going to leave them behind. He's going to abandon our sins. When it comes to our sins, they are sent away. All of this is implied in forgiveness. The word forgiveness also means to completely cancel. Completely canceled. It signifies the remission of punishment due to the sinful conduct, delivering of the sinner from the penalty. Thank God that God forgives us our sins. Amen. Now, only restoration of fellowship, not only restoration of fellowship, but also deliverance from the penalty that is involved. That's why you and I will not go to sin. I mean, go to hell because of our sins. Jesus Christ has forgiven it, and he is not going to bring it back to you. He's going to leave it alone. Forgiveness also implies a complete removal of the case of the offense. It is closely akin to the word justification, which means God pronounces the sinner blameless just as if he had never sinned. Justification, just as if I had never sinned. Aren't you glad about that? You ought to be shouting, amen. I mean, you ought to be throwing dirt up in the air and getting all happy, everything about forgiveness. Well, let me illustrate. The word forgiveness points back to the Old Testament, what we call the scapegoat. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 5 through 28, the Hebrew calendar on the seventh month, which is October of our year, and the tenth day of the month, two goats were taken. Two goats, one was killed, and the other was left alive. The one goat that was killed, his blood was sprinkled on the live goat. Then the sins of the people were confessed over that live goat. That priest would pray and say, God, I beg you to take our sins away. Then the living goat was led out into the wilderness, never to return. Glory to God, hallelujah. Never to return. Those priests, those young priests would take that. It would be a shame that that goat had ever come back. So they took them to the fire and they put out in the wilderness. Why? The illustration. The scapegoat. Their sins were applied on that goat, and that goat was taken way out in the wilderness, never remembered again. The goat, which died, points to the Lord Jesus Christ bearing our sins. The living goat, or the scapegoat, points to Jesus Christ, our Savior, carrying of our sins away, never to return with Him. I love that song. What sins are you talking about? I remember the day when I was bent low with the burden of sin and strife. That then Jesus came in and rescued me and gave me a brand new life. And now as I thank Him day after day for washing away my sins, it seems I can almost hear the voice of the blessed Savior say, "What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. For the book of life, they're all been torn out. I don't remember them anymore." What a picture of forgiveness. It is all because of the blood of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness. Because the same blood was applied for us. Aren't you glad about that? The fact is that Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Let me go a little step further. If we are the child of God, then we're His child. Amen. And you have been forgiven by Christ, then you are to be one who is willing also to forgive. We have this little thing that people think that, well, hey, if I do something wrong, people are supposed to forgive me, but boy, if somebody does something to me or says something about my kid, I ain't going to forget that. I'll make them pay for that. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know that's true. I was telling somebody the other day, he did something wrong. He looked at me and said, "What do you mean?" I said, "That's wrong." And he said, "Well, I'm sure you've done it." I said, "That's not the point." I said, "Just get over it." And then I said, "Let alone Dwayne." But he wasn't at the church to understand that. Let me go one more step. Not far from New York City, there's a grave with a headstone. The marker is chiseled with one word: forgiven. That's all that's on that marker. No artwork, just the word forgiven. No epitaph, just the word forgiven. No explanation, just the word forgiven. No name, just the word forgiven. No eulogy, just the word forgiven. I was reading the story about a man that was in Spain, and his son ran away and broke his heart. And he knew that he had pushed his son away. He knew that he had did not correct him properly. And he was grieving about his son. He was praying for his son. So in the newspaper, he wrote, he said, "Paco, all is forgiven. You're dead. Please come back to the city square on Monday at 12 noon. 500 Paco showed up. True story. People are looking to be forgiven. People are hurting. Who do we think we are? We have $300 million of forgiveness from God, and we're grabbing people by the neck for 17 bucks. You couldn't even buy a Happy Meal at McDonald's anymore for that. Scripture teaches that if someone does something to us or to our loved ones, God says that we are to forgive them. Epimea, leave it alone. When Jesus was so shamefully dealt with and illegally punished and took the beating and the cursing and the meanness, took their lies, and when all was said and done, laying there on the cross and they're nailing his hands to the cross, he says, without them asking, "Hey, forgive us," without them asking, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's God. That's God. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he said, "Father, forgive them." I just wish that I could get this ingrained in just the Heritage Baptist Church, this would change Great Falls completely. If I could just get you to come to the point in your life and just say, I'm going to just leave it alone, Dwayne. People are going to hurt you. People are going to say things about you. They're going to text you things that is going to hurt you. They're going to put things on Facebook that are going to hurt you. There's just all kinds of junk out there. Yes, they will. It's not funny. People take loaded guns and put them in their mouth and eat their gun because somebody said something bad, or somebody said she's fat, or somebody said that she's ugly, or somebody said that he's a stupid idiot and all that. They just said, that's it. Boom, they're done. Yes, they do. They could say, I'm going to leave it alone, Dwayne. In a couple days, or a couple weeks, or a couple years, I won't even know him. I won't even see him again. And they are going to do that to me. No, you're not going to do that to me. I'm going to just leave it alone. I'm just walking away from it. I'm leaving it alone. Because vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. God said, hey, don't step into my throne. Don't step into my judge's chambers. Okay, you want to do it? God says what? Go ahead. And boy, we can make a mess out of a lot of things. There may be some things that people said about us that really are true, but we just don't like them to say that. Stephen had the right idea. When he was being stoned just before he gave up the ghost and died, he said, Father, lay not this to their charge. Literally saying, I'm going to just leave it alone and let the great judge take care of it. It's too much for me. Every one of you got that junk going on in your heart. If you don't have it now, you're going to have it. Somebody's going to say something mean to you. Somebody's going to say, you know, I think you ought to dress better. And my advice to you is say, just leave it alone. Who's responsible for you? If it's a wife, your husband is. Leave it alone. You sound like a Tasmanian devil. Boy, that's really a blessing. Just leave it alone. Let God take care of it. Come to God and drop your face before God and say, Dear God, if I am at fault, forgive me. That's a good idea. Secondly, if it's not, Lord, you just take care of it because I am not going to waste my precious time and get an ulcer over this and get high blood pressure off of worrying about what somebody else is going to say about me. I heard somebody say the other day, hey, preacher, you know what somebody said about your church? I said, no, don't want to know. I just said, leave it alone, Dwayne. Boy, I really want to be honest with you. I really want to know. Huh? Come on. Huh? Don't look at me like that. You do too. You know about Susie? What about Susie? I don't want to know. But I'll pray about it. Amen or oh me. Boy, I'll tell you what, people out there, they want to get your gizzard. They want to hurt you. Because if they can hurt you, then they can get one more step over top of you and they can be better than you are. Wrong, lizard, that's not the way it is. They're not better than you. They're far worse to even bring something damnable about your character. That's what Satan does. Listen to me. That's what Satan does. Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And when you're accusing somebody else in your church, guess who you're acting like? Guess what father you're acting like? Satan. Oh, yeah? He said, but preacher, hey, listen, come on. Some of you are over 50 years old know all about this baloney. Some of you are just finding out about it. Some of you think, good night. Is that the way a church is? Well, we're people, amen. I like what Peanut said. I love people. I hate human beings, though. Here's the biblical principle. We're all looking for biblical principles, aren't we? We all want something that we say, this is what the Bible says. God says, vengeance is mine, I'll repay. When we are wronged, when we are accused, you hear people say, I know why you did that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Only God knows why you do certain things. And you. And sometimes I don't even know why I did some things. But don't challenge my, you know, giving you something, saying, well, you're just trying to get the best out of it. You're just trying to butter me up or something. Don't do that. Graciously accept it and say thank you. When we are wrong, when we are accused, we go after those who have belittled us and shamed us, who lie about us. We start acting like we have become the God that judges. God looks down and says, hey, smarty pants, that's in the Hebrew, of course, you think that you know how to judge better than I do? Go ahead, and I will let you be the judge. I'm not going to be in competition with you and to judge them. That is why God tells us when the day comes, when you are despitefully used, just leave it alone, Dwayne. It's not fair. I've always thought about that. When I say it's not fair, then I think, you know what, there have been some times that I haven't been fair. There have been some times that I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've said things about people I shouldn't have said. So just because I get up on my little pedestal and say, shame on you for doing that to me, I don't deserve that. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And God says, hey, just leave it alone. I'll take care of it. Let me ask you this. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ truly will save your soul and take you to heaven someday? Would you raise your hands? Wow. That's unanimous. So that's a big thing. Going to heaven or burning to hell. Hey, wouldn't you say that's the biggest thing in your whole life? And why are you so ripping upset about someone that says, does something to you that's not going to mean a hill of beans? Just leave it alone. The judge. Is God the judge? Yeah. Let him take care of it. He says, you don't understand what my wife did to me. Well, first of all, she probably should have. But anyway, no, I didn't. But just leave it alone. The Bible says he that findeth a wife finds a good thing and findeth favor with God for that wife that God has given you. Oh, I'm so glad I have a wife. So if God said, I find favor in you, why, then if I was you, I would take awful good care of her. I'd really protect her. And I wouldn't hurt her, and I wouldn't make her feel estranged, that I would be very careful how I treated everything about her. Paul said, she's a weaker vessel. She's a weaker vessel. I suspect we better take care of her. And for you little giddy girls out there that have a husband, you older women are supposed to teach you younger women to love their husbands. Keep your house. Take care of the kids. Read Proverbs 31 if you think you can lay home and eat bonbons, watch TV all day. That was not the Proverbs 31 lady. She was a hustling woman. She was working hard. Her candle did not go out at night. She was up in the morning before everybody else, and she was making breakfast, and she was making sure that everybody was fed and clothed. I don't want to be a woman. You're the hardest working thing ever God ever made. You are a thing. God said, he that finds a wife finds a good thing. You're the hardest working thing I know. You're unselfish. You're loving. You're soft. You smell good. Every once in a while, I just go up to my wife and smell her hair. Amen. I'm all shook up. So, girls, you take care of that man. Obey him. Second thing I want to give you is, why should I forgive? Well, the Bible says that's pretty good. A good reason, amen. The Bible says to. A puzzling story about Peter just blows my mind. How a talent of gold is worth $30,000. And 100 talents, $300 million. God says that's the way it is. I want you to take your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. This is what we call the Lord's Prayer. Bible-believing people call it the disciples' prayer because the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. So it's not the Lord's Prayer. It was the disciples' prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and deliver us not in temptation, but deliver us from, forgive us our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And that's where we shut our Bible. But I want you to read down a little bit more. Go to verse 14. Keep on reading. For if we forgive all men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Here's a guy who takes advantage of you. It may be your money. You get him to do something, he doesn't finish it out. He's a Christian, you're a Christian. Now what? What does the Bible say you're supposed to do? I said the Bible. Leave it alone, Dwayne. Just go on. Let God take care of it. But we will not. We are so judicially impacted in our country, we'll sue him. We'll take his pants. We'll show him never to. You know what? God says, okay, pal, you become the judge. You have judged. You have judged this man. I'm not going to judge him. You've done what you've done to him. I'm done. And God wipes his hand and turns around and walks away. And the next time you come to God and say, dear God, would you please forgive me? God says, who are you? I know he knows who I am, but you know what I'm trying to tell you. He said, if you won't forgive them, I'm not going to forgive you. So how many times does God have to say? Time and time and time and time in this Bible, God tells us that. And we just get what we want. You ever get a box of chocolates? And in the chocolate there's some chewy caramel and chewy caramel with nuts and chocolate and nuts. And then they've got this creamy yuck in there. Like creamy orange and creamy pineapple, creamy. That should be against the law. Well, I'll tell you what. You just have it. But buddy, I want that chewy stuff. I want that get in your teeth stuff, amen. All right, run down both sides. Know I'm on the level, amen. See, that's what most Christians are. We take what we want out of the Bible, and then we leave the rest. And say, that's not for me. Somebody said that Thomas Jefferson took his Bible and cut out the places that he didn't like. He said, this is what I like about it. He didn't have a very big Bible after that. One man said, the Bible is not hard to understand. It's just hard to live. For the most part, everybody knows what that Bible says. If you are convicted tonight of something that has happened in the past, my suggestion is you go to God and ask Him to forgive you, and then you leave it alone. Leave it alone, Dwayne. Why are we asked to forgive? If we're unwilling to forgive, this is a very dreadful world to live in. If you won't forgive me, oh my goodness, what a rugged world I'd have to live in. If you won't forgive your wife or your husband of something, you're going to have great trouble in that home. You probably won't stay together very long. Y'all know that, right? That's why we forgive. Secondly, because Jesus has forgiven us of our dreadful sins. Three, we are to forgive because it is Christ-like to forgive, and it shows our Christianity. We're told to rejoice because we have been forgiven. We are told that man who is forgiven of his sins is blessed or a happy man. My dear friend, it is so much more honorable and greater to be able to forgive than to be forgiven. Christ never had to be forgiven. He never had to do it. He never did anything wrong. Christ never needed forgiveness. He knew no sin. He did not need forgiveness of sin. However, to be Christ-like is to forgive. Luke chapter 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. They literally made him naked before everybody. The Holy Son of God. And Jesus cries out, Father, forgive them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. There are people in this world, and there are people in our country, and there are people in our state, there are people in our county, and there are people right here at Heritage Baptist Church that are unwilling to let it go, to turn it loose. And you just keep choking it. Some of you married couples been married for years, and there's something happened. First of all, you got married, whatever, and you just won't leave it alone. And you just keep bringing it up. When I was a little boy, I had a cat. It was a great big black cat. Huge cat. It didn't go meow, meow. It went meow. And it didn't go purr, purr. It went purr, purr, purr. Sounds like my Harley. I love that old cat. Every morning, I come outside and go to the barn, and my old black cat, he'd follow me out there. He's like my bodyguard. You know what I mean? Dog come by and be like, great cat. I'm telling you, when he'd see a dog, his tail would puff up like a raccoon tail. His hair would hackle up, man, I'll tell you what, and he'd show his teeth. One day I came out of the house and couldn't find my cat. I looked all over for my cat. I went out to the barn and said, "Hey, Dad, you see cat?" But Dad said, "No, I don't see it." That's kind of interesting. I said, I never saw him. My dad used to, he'd be milking the cows, and the old cat would come in, and he'd squirt that milk right in that cat's mouth. It's the greatest thing you ever see. What a show on earth, amen. She said, "Yeah, I remember. I didn't see that cat, your cat." And I looked for my cat and looked for my cat. And after a while, you know, being a little guy, I forgot about my cat. And I was playing outside, and I crawled underneath our porch. Our porch is quite a big porch. And there was my cat! I said, "Hey, kitty, 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 cat!" Must have been sleeping. So I reached in and grabbed its tail and pulled on it, and I got a piece of tail. Well, that's strange. You pull a cat's tail off, that's pretty strange. Just a little bit of milk, pull off. I said, And then I noticed that that it didn't smell very good underneath there. So I knew what to do. I went out to the barn by the granary, and I got that great big scoop that my dad used to clean out the cow pit, you know, the manure scoop. Big aluminum one. I put that old aluminum underneath of my cat, and I creeped out with my cat. There's my cat! My cat didn't do nothing. It just laying there. I said, "Mom!" And my wife, my mom always used to call me honey. She said, "What, honey?" I said, "Something wrong with cat." She said, "Boy, that cat dead. Don't touch that thing." You know mamas. Don't touch that thing. I said, "Oh, I got some of his tail. Put that down. I'm going to the house and wash his hands." So I have three sisters, and I said, "Girls, we got to have a funeral." I said, "Mama, where can we plant this cat?" She said, "Why don't you put it out in the back of the garden?" So we went out in the back garden. I dug the grave. Had to dig down pretty hard. Way down there, brought the old cat in, rolled him in with all reverence. My sister sang, Sharon sang, Lois and Marilyn quoted scriptures, and I preached. And we went in the garage and made this cross. I miss my cat. You know, I'm praying for his resurrection, I guess. About 3 days later, I'm really missing my cat. So I went over and got a shovel. I dug that cat out. My cat's alive. It's just wiggling and white stuff. He's alive. He's alive. Then Mama said, "No, son, those are maggots. Leave that. Put that cat. What are you digging that cat up for?" I said, "I want to see my cat. I miss my cat." "Son, Sheldon, I'll put it." She said, "This is when you know you're in trouble. Sheldon Clare Shear, I said, bury that cat." And that's when you say, "Yes, ma'am." Well, about a week later, I was missing cat. Hey, when every day you come out of the house and that cat walks with you, "I miss my cat." You got it. I walked all the way down the garden. My shovel's still there. I exhumed the corpse. Things ain't doing very good for my cat. Not much hair left. All you can see is flies buzzing around. Nothing more than white things. You know what? That's exactly what you do to your wife or your husband or your children when you won't leave it alone. How much do they have to pay the price? How much do they have to pay the price? Why don't you go back to the scriptures where the Bible says 70 times 7? Why don't you go back to the scriptures where it says, "You wicked servant." I'm preaching at you. You listen to me now. You're as wicked as they come if you keep bringing things up about your wife or your husband or your kids. I'll tell you how stupid I am. my son, my middle son, Corey, found some way he found a pack of matches. I am on the fire department of the Elkton Fire Department. And my son, after church, way back behind the building with all his buddies, they're lighting these matches and throwing them. See how far they go. Sounds normal to me. But being a firefighter, that ain't good. Oh, that's great. Hey, firefighter Shearer, your kid burned down the church. Yeah, I got an arson, I guess. Somebody told me about it. Thank God for you deacons. Somebody told me about it. I said, Corey, you still got those matches? He looked at me like I was Solomon. He says, what matches? I said, the ones you have in your pocket. I was guessing. Sure enough, he still had a couple in there. I said, let me have them. I said, what have you been doing with this? That's what kids say. I said, you've been lighting these matches? I said, boy, I ought to tan your hide so much I could hang that thing up in the wall. I said, don't you understand, son? I am a firefighter. I put out fires for a living. I reamed him. I ripped him. I reeled at him. He cried. He's bawling. All you had to do, you didn't have to beat old Corey. You just had to look at him the wrong way and say, boy, and he was sorry. Boy, I'll tell you what, he's a kid that wouldn't do it again. So I took that pack of matches, put it in my pocket, got home, about to go to bed. I pulled them things out and threw it on the bed. I said, boy, you know what those are? He just balls. I said, don't you ever let me catch you lighting a match unless you got a reason to light it. Yes, Father. Yes, Dad. All right. Guess what I did Monday morning before he went to school? He's sitting at the breakfast table. He thinks everything is cool. I throw that thing down at him. I said, boy, you know what that is? Oh, my goodness. And the Holy Spirit came to me and says, isn't that enough? When you ask God to forgive you, he forgives you. And he leaves it there. I said, okay, Marcia. I got it, Marcia. That was the best lesson I ever got on forgiveness. I was holding that over my kid. I know we're to train them and nurture them and raise them up. But I'll tell you what, that was a great big old 240-pound former football player looking down at this little skinny thing that looked like two spaghetti tied at the knee and two at the elbow. I mean, he's a skinny kid. And I'm ripping him. Shame on me. Shame on us for trying to get people, get them. God have mercy if we had a church here at Heritage Baptist Church and unwilling to forgive and unwilling to leave it alone. Just leave it alone. Get on with it. Let God be the judge. Let God take care of that stuff. There's some things you'll never be able to take care of. I don't care how bad it is. One more illustration. I was playing football, came to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College, and we were in fall training. First year I was there. And, man, you know, freshman, you're trying really hard to get on that first team. And the guy told me, you'll never play on first team. You're a stinking freshman. I said, well, we'll see about that. And I mean to tell you, fisticuff, oh, yeah, I even cursed on that. On a Christian college, I was cussing the guys, punching. I want a job. God have mercy. Thank God they had evangelistic meetings the first week of college. I got some things right now. a kid said to me, "Hey, Shear, I know you live in Michigan, which is about 1,000 miles, and you're not going home for the weekend. I get to go home. Would you do my dishes on Friday so I can go? I can leave right after practice?" I said, "Sure." He said, "And I'll do your dishes on Monday." "Hey, no problem, man." Monday came. And by the way, Friday was bad because they had a lot of pots and pans and a lot of stuff and dirt. Monday afternoon came, and Coach Foster said, "Okay, guys, this guy, you freshmen, you guys, this is your time to wash dishes." And he said, "Shear." And I looked over the guy and said, like that, he goes, blew me off. I went, I said, "What you talking about?" He said, "I ain't doing your stinking dishes." I said, "Man, I did your dishes for you. What do you mean you're not going to do my dishes?" I said, "You're not my, it's your turn." So I didn't do it. He walked out. Well, I didn't leave alone. I went to the coach and I said, "Hey, Coach Foster, I did his dishes. You know I did it because you were back there." And I said, "It wasn't my time to do it. And I did it for him so he'd go home." He said, "I'll take care of it." And went along, that boy was in there doing dishes. Hey, man. Practice game. I didn't leave it alone. I'm 220 pounds, 6 foot tall. I'm a fullback, and I'll run over you. And every time the ball was snapped, I wasn't paying attention to what I was supposed to do. I was just trying to kill him. Y'all understand that, don't you? Some of you ball players understand what I mean. My coach says, "Shear, what in the fire are you doing, you stinking pansy? Go after the ball and I hit him." After a while, he's trying to figure out what was going on, anybody? And I got so mad, so frustrated. I was just almost a demon inside of me to get him. I'm embarrassed about what I did. I'd throw leg whips. I'd hit him. I'd just go after him with my helmet. I did everything I could to hurt him. I was so mad. Almost didn't get to play the next game. Leave it alone. Thank God for a revival meeting that first week, and that preacher preached on forgiveness. And I was the first one out of my seat, that big old college. I come down there, fell on my face before God, and I said, "God, I don't ever want to do that no more." And that preacher told us about how that we can get over that by praying for those who do mean things towards you. That was the greatest thing I ever learned in college as a 19-year-old boy. I wish I could get that to you. You are not going to be able to hurt somebody or inflict something on somebody. You may hurt them a little bit, but it'll hurt you more. And it'll ruin you. You'll get bitter in your heart. And you it'll just strangle your sweetness. I don't need that. Epimea, leave it alone. Hey, Dwayne, leave it alone! Shut up, Shear. And he's over there doing, I said, "What are you saying?" I teased him a lot about that. So when the troubles come in your heart and in your marriage and in things that if you just shut your mouth, if my mother here, she'd work my mouth off of soap, it would be quiet. Don't shut your mouth. If you just be quiet, allow God to be judge, and you just take care of your business and go about your business, God will retaliate for you. And if it doesn't, it don't make any difference because you want to protect that heart of yours. You want to protect that heart. Your mama's, you want to protect that heart because that little boy, that little girl's watching you. They're watching you. They're watching you, how you act. How you act to daddy when he comes home. Hey, Those little boys are watching you, Dad, when how you treat your wife. And you open your door for her. You make sure that she's taken care of. And make sure that you love on her and kiss her and tell her sweet little nothings in her ear and make her giggle. They're watching that. And what you're doing, and some of you guys with these little girls in here, you ought to be pretty ticked off with some of these guys in here, the way they're raising their boys. Because that's how they're going to treat your little daughter someday as a wife. I hope you felt that you got a little bit tonight. I hope you walk out here tonight and say, you know what? There's a lot of things I just need to leave on. Let God be the judge. Father, I love you. Lord, we've failed so many times. We've gone against the principles of this book. And dear God, we say that this is the book that we live by, that we love, that we cherish. The principles, the laws. This is what we measure our behavior with. God, we have failed. Please, God, help us tonight to walk close to you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, there's some things in my heart, in my life. I need to take care of it tonight. Let's all stand. Pianist play. You're here. You need to take care of some things. You need to just leave it alone. Get on with life. And say, dear God, I'm letting you be the judge. I'm taking my hands off this thing. That's right. There's plenty of altar room up here. Are you kidding me?